Wow, it's great to see you guys. I can't even express to you how much every single song, how the pre-service opener, how it all fits together for what God wants to do in the service this morning. So I'm really pumped at what he wants to do. Because, you know, it's not my show, it's his show. It's not their show, it's his show. They know that and they celebrate that. And so I just want you to, like someone said, I can't remember who, step in to what God wants to do in your heart today. Just step into it. That's it. Just cooperate with him. That's it. And so today we're going to continue our series called In Joy, spelled with an I, because we want joy on the inside. It's not just a face thing. I can be totally joyful when I'm driving down this road, and sometimes it doesn't make it to my face. Has that ever happened to you? Like, somebody's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm good, actually. And they're like, well, tell your face. Okay, sorry. But we want to focus on joy on the inside today. And I'm really pumped to bring the message to you. But before I do, I want to tell you that if you bought tickets for the game tonight, for the church picnic at the Lake County Captains game, pick up those tickets at will call. They'll be under your name. And I know of two extra tickets that someone's already purchased. So if you want to know how to get an extra ticket, I have two available that I know of. Come and see me and I'll tell you what name to look for, okay? So if you didn't plan to come and you didn't pay to come, but you're like, hey, I think I can come to that, come. We have two extra tickets, okay? So I'd love to have you join us for that. Also, 2 weeks from today, we have our overseer coming in, Richard Exley. Whoop, 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 right? It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. And the day before that, this is brand new. A lot of you don't know about this. The day before that, we're doing for the first time, I think ever, with Richard, we are doing a brunch on Saturday morning between 10 and noon. And basically, I said, Richard, you've been in ministry for, I think, 40 years, something like that. I said, just bring whatever God tells you to bring. I didn't want to give him an agenda. I said, here's our message series for the month, but you do whatever you want to do. So I don't even know what he's going to say or do or whatever, but brunch will be provided. There's no charge for that, but we do need you to sign up for it by texting the church number, which is 440. It's on your program, 440-248-1311, and just put Richard Exley and say how many are coming for that, okay? There won't be childcare that day. FYI, sorry, we can't do childcare that day, but there will be brunch, and we invite you to come and participate with us on that. So enjoy. Today I'm going to talk about enjoy salvation. That's a good topic. And I'm just going to tell you before I even speak that I felt like the Lord spoke to me really clearly this week. And he said, there's going to be salvations that take place today. And there's going to be the returning of the joy of his salvation in some people. So if that's you, just get ready to receive. Just get ready to say yes. That's it. Yes. Okay. So how do you find joy in salvation? This is going to seem very, very counterintuitive, but trust me. Do you trust me? Yes. Good, good. I've been your pastor for almost 10 years now, so I hope you trust me. Everything I say and do is from my heart, from God's heart to my heart to your heart. So the first point, if we're going to have joy in our salvation, we need to repent of anything that God reveals to you. I don't know why, but repent has become a dirty word in our culture today. And it's not. It's a joy-filled word. Repent is a beautiful thing. You see, I think what we meant many times in humanity, it's not just today, it's since humanity started, we tend to do one of two things with sin. We tend to feel terrible about it. Like, oh, I'm such a worm. I can't believe I did that. And then we cycle through to the next phase where we're like, okay, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and try harder. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try harder. And then we fail again. And then we feel guilt and shame. And then we repent and we try to do better. That's not the way to deal with sin. The second thing we tend to do with sin is this. And it's been happening since Eve was on the earth. When the serpent came to her and said, "Did God really say this is wrong?" And that's what we do. We justify. When we know, when we get that in our spirits that we know we're violating what God has for us, we tend to go, "Did God really say it's wrong to fill in the blank?" That's just as detrimental. It's just as detrimental as the first one. So what does the Bible say about repentance? In Psalm 51, 3 and 4, in the New Living Translation, David says, "For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just." Oh, that's hard, isn't it? That's really hard. And before you start thinking, well, that's Old Testament, so it doesn't count. First of all, the Old Testament does count. But second of all, it's also talked about quite a bit in the New Testament, repentance is, and sin is. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, in the Passion Translation, it says this. I love the way it's read in this Passion Translation. It says, "God designed us to feel remorse over sin in order to produce repentance that leads to what? Victory! Yes! Victory! This leaves us with no regrets, but the sorrow of the world works death." Another translation says, "Godly sorrow leads to repentance, worldly sorrow leads to death." And I think even in Christian circles, even in the church circles, sometimes all we have is worldly sorrow. That's why we cycle through, right? God says, no, I don't think repentance is a big deal. I don't think it's a big thing. When I was training my children when they were little and at home, and I taught them not to touch a hot stove, was that because I was on some kind of power trip and wanted to run their lives? No. It's because I knew the heat of the stove would bring trouble to their lives. When I taught them to hold my hand when we're crossing the street, was that because I'm a dictator and I need to have everything go my way? No. It's because I want to protect them. So everything in the Word that God says, don't do this, do this, it's because he knows you best. So repentance doesn't have to be a big, flail myself and wear ashes. No, that's not what it has to be. Psalm 51, 7 and 8 says, "Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice." And then in verse 12 it says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Is that what it says? Look. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Ah. And make me willing to obey you." You know, I don't believe in being sin-focused. I really don't. I think for many years the church was so sin-focused they couldn't even talk about the good news. I'm just being real. But I also don't want to pretend it doesn't exist. Because when I have fallen short, when I have missed the mark, I need to know there's hope, that I don't have to cycle through feeling guilt and shame, trying hard to do better, and then failing again. I don't have to jump into that cycle. I can just repent. Repent means I'm going to go a different way now. I was going this way, and now I'm going to go, whoops, I repent, and I'm going to go this way. That's it. It's not a big, bloody mess over there, because there was a bloody mess here. There doesn't have to be one here. What a beautiful thing. But then, get away from there. Like, okay, The first point was ask God, you know, repent of anything that God reveals to you. And I'm going to tell you right now, if God is revealing something to you that you've already repented of, it's not God. Because when you repent to God, he says this, forgotten, covered, love covers, forgotten, tossed into the sea of forgetfulness, don't have to worry about that anymore. So he won't keep reminding you of a sin you've already repented of. Just want to clarify that. Point two, this is the fun part. This is where you want to spend all your time. Don't spend all your time on repentance. That's quick. Spend your time on this. Point two, meditate on, study, and celebrate salvation. I did some searching in the last couple of weeks. There are so many verses in the scripture. I don't even have it in front of me right now. How many verses in the scripture talk about salvation? Study those. We have it so easy. Take out your smart aleck phone, like Kathy talked about. Take out your smart aleck phone and ask, how many times is salvation mentioned in the scripture, in the Bible? You're going to be amazed. But I have five. I just couldn't whittle it down to any more than, or any less than five. First of all, point A, salvation increases. It's not like you get salvation and then you're done. It increases in your life. Psalm 25:5 says, escort me along the way, take me by the hand and teach me, for you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours. What a beautiful thing that we can celebrate about salvation is it's not like a one-time deposit and it never changes. And if you've been a Christian for longer than 5 minutes, you know this is true. Because as you walk through this life and you experience some new things, some good things, some bad things, you find salvation increasing with every step you take. And it's beautiful. Point B, salvation gives us a new song for a new day. Oh, I celebrate this one so much. Because, you know, I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. You don't know what tomorrow holds for you. But this is what I know. Psalm 40:1-3 says that salvation is so amazing that it gives us a new song for every new day. What if we woke up in the morning and we said, okay, God, what's the song you have for my day? Like, how powerful would that be if you just asked that one question of God? God, what song do you have for me today? Maybe it's one you've heard here. Maybe it's a brand new one you've never heard anywhere, and he's just giving you some lyrics. Take it, seize it, sing it, celebrate it. Psalm 41:3, I waited and waited and waited some more. I love that it's three times. I waited and waited and waited some more. Patiently, knowing God would come through for me. Then at last, he bent down and listened to my cry. He stooped down to lift me out of danger from the desolate pit I was in, out of the muddy mess I had fallen into. Now he's lifted me up into a firm, secure place and steadied me while I walk along his ascending path. A new song for a new day rises up in me every time I think about how he breaks through for me. Wow. Ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free. Many will see his miracles. They'll stand in awe of God and fall in love with him. Oh, I love the Passion Translation so much because it's like Roger was talking about when he did the transition. It's like I hear the words that I've heard my whole life and read my whole life, and suddenly it's like a new song is being sung over me and in me and through me. A new song for a new day rises up in me every time I think about all that God has done for me. Wow. The trick is thinking about all that he's done for us. That's the trick, really. Point C, salvation lifts us up. Have you ever felt like you were down in the dump somewhere? You're just like, oh, like I got to get out of this bad place, this dark place. Salvation does that. Psalm 13:5, Lord, I have always trusted in your kindness, so answer me. I will yet celebrate with passion and joy when your salvation lifts me up. I love here that David, he makes an intentional statement when he's down in the worst pit, that he says, I know there's going to come a day when I will celebrate again. Like, that is so powerful. I don't care what you're, I do care what you're going through, but no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through, you can take comfort in the fact that one day God is going to lift you up out of that mess, and you can start celebrating today what's going to happen. You can actually celebrate in advance of it actually being seen with your eyes. That's the beauty of living in the Spirit. One of the many beautiful things. Point D, salvation satisfies our deep thirsts. Isaiah 12:3-4 says, with joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day, you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name. Thank the Lord, praise his name. Because it says sing. Might as well sing it, right? I just treasure about God. I treasure about God that he gives us a well of salvation. And he says, come and take a drink anytime you want. You don't have to wait for Sunday morning when the altars are open. You don't have to wait until you get the holy heebie-jeebies. You can just make a decision to go to the well of salvation and take a long, cold drink from the well of salvation. And then what happens? Enjoy. Joy comes in. Joy comes in. I heard this morning a message by Sean Bowles. So powerful. If you want to look it up, it's on YouTube, called Perspective. It's about 55 minutes long, I think. Perspective. Really powerful message. And he talked about how psychologists have proven there's this thing called an expectation bias. It's literally been proven by science, which is always fun. I just enjoy that. When you can marry science and theology. I like that, actually. I know that kind of, some of you just went, right? That's all right. I like it. The expectation bias is, if you walk into a room and you expect people to be, to reject you, you're going to feel rejected. Hands down, 100% of the time. If you walk into a room expecting to be loved, you're going to walk away feeling loved 100% of the time. That should set us free, people. Like, how can you just be sitting there? I want to jump up and shout for that. Like, seriously, no judgment. But do you understand how powerful that is? Because when I can drink deeply from the well of salvation, I can walk into any room knowing I'm fully loved and fully accepted. So I'm going to walk out of that room feeling fully loved and fully accepted. Wow. The expectation bias also works this way. If you approach God assuming he's angry with you, you're going to walk away feeling he's angry with you, even if he's not. If you approach God assuming he loves you, and he sees you wrapped in the robe of righteousness his son has given you, you're going to walk away from God feeling loved and embraced. It's between the ears. It's between the ears. Point E, salvation brings bliss. Now, that's not a word you hear every day, is it? I like it, though. Isaiah 25:9 says, in that day, they will say, behold, this is our God. Do you ever just stop and go, Behold, that is my God. Ooh. We've waited for him and he saved us. This one, the Lord Yahweh, he is worth the wait. We will keep shouting with joy as we find our bliss in his salvation kisses. Ooh, or kiss. For me, it's many times. Many kisses. We're running around searching for bliss. We're running around searching for that all elusive, I am fulfilled and complete. And God says, I've had it all along for you. Because I made it for you. I was running some errands yesterday, and I don't think this was an accident at all. I walked into a store. I don't usually pay attention to the background music. I just don't notice it usually. And this time I felt arrested by it. And the words were from a song that's written, I looked it up later, written like 6 years ago by a group called Oasis, which I had never heard of. Many of you probably know. And the song was called Wonderwall. And the lyrics that kept like pounding in my head were this: maybe you're going to be the one who saves me. And I felt the heart cry of a generation, because I feel like we're living in a day where a whole generation is saying, maybe you're going to be the one who saves me. No. Maybe you're going to be the one who saves. No. Maybe you're going to be the one who saves me. No. Maybe you're going to be the one who saves me. No. And we have the answer, you see. We have the good news. We have the one who can really save. We have the one who can save. We are not the one who can save, but we have the one who can save. And if we're going to cooperate with the billion soul harvest that I talked about a few weeks ago, we have to find joy in salvation. We get to find joy in salvation. If we have the expectation bias that being a Christian is about being beat up and never being allowed to do anything, that's how we're going to live our Christian life. But if we have the expectation bias that being a Christian is being filled with joy, I can have joy when I face terrible temptations. Why? Because I know that my Father is going to always allow me to benefit from that terrible thing that I'm going through. He's always going to bring good out of it for me and for the world. Every time. That's how we can have, I can't have joy if I'm just getting beat up by life. I have to have my joy. It says in Hebrews, I think, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, was able to endure the cross. You want to know something really cool? You are the joy. You are the joy that was set before him. How was he able to endure the cross? Because he was like, oh, this is fun. No, because all he could think about was you being restored to relationship with his Father. That's how. I don't think anything happens by accident. I was in my devotions this morning, and I do my devotions not to prepare for my message. I do my devotions to have a relationship with Jesus. But as I did my devotions, this is what I read. Now, if you know anything about Isaiah, you know the first 39 chapters are a little tough. You know, there's a lot of this city's going to hell in a handbasket, and this city's in trouble, they're going to get taken out. Like, it's pretty rough. There's a lot of pictures of redemption and grace in there, so I don't mean to say differently, but it's just a little tough. But then I got to chapter 40 today. Woo! Chapter 40, there's a big turnaround in chapter 40. And 40 through 66 is a whole different book almost than 1 through 39. Here's what it says. Your God says to you, comfort my people with gentle, compassionate words. speak tenderly from the heart to revive those in Jerusalem and proclaim that their warfare is over. Her debt of sin is paid for. Everybody say paid for.
Paid for.
And she will not be treated as guilty. Prophesy to her that she has received from the hand of Yahweh. Here we go. Ready for this? This is so good. Twice as many blessings as all of her sins. Woo! Then it says, make a highway straight through the desert for our God. Every valley will be raised up. Every mountain will be brought low. The rugged terrain, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, you know there's some rugged terrain, will become level ground, and the rough places, a plain. Then Yahweh's radiant glory will be unveiled, and all humanity will experience it together. Believe it, for Yahweh has spoken his decree. That's what salvation looks like. This is how we can have joy in salvation. This is how. The last point, number three, keep on your robe of righteousness. In my Christian walk for 53 years, every time I lose the joy of myself or of his salvation, it's because I try to put on my own robe of righteousness instead of his. Every time. Every time. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will sing and greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My whole being vibrates with shouts of joy in my God. For he has dressed me with salvation and wrapped me in the robe of his righteousness. I appear like a bridegroom on his wedding day, decked out with a beautiful sash, or like a radiant bride adorned with sparkling jewels. When we can swim in the sea of the joy of our salvation, the joy of his salvation, we're ready to live towards the earth instead of from the earth. Do you understand how different that is? If I walk into a room and I'm thinking, I hope somebody speaks to me. I hope someone invites me out for a meal. I hope someone gives me a, what they used to call a Pentecostal handshake, where they put some money in your hand when they shake your hand. Like, if you come into a room thinking that, you're living from the earth. God designed us to live to the earth, not from the earth. So when Jesus came, did he live from the earth? Did he look for the accolades of men? No, he came to the earth. So when you walk into a room and you're living to the earth, you think, who can I find to speak to today? Who can I encourage today? Who can I give a Pentecostal handshake to? Who can I invite to dinner today? It's different thinking. It's different. We're ready to live to the earth instead of from the earth. When I preach, my goal is to live to the earth, not from the earth. Because some days I walk away and I think, yep, I rocked it. Like, people were so touched and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they said, a lot of people told me how much it meant to them and blah, blah, blah. But in other times, it's not like that. And I think that was the worst I've ever done. So if I live from the earth, I'm on a roller coaster all the time of life, constantly. When I live to the earth, I don't have to deal with that. I'm asking you now to be really still, not to move if you can help it. Because I believe God wants to do something supernatural, and sometimes one person getting up and moving can shift attention away from what God wants to do. So if at all possible, just be really still. I believe there are people in the room right now, and it occurs to you that you have never experienced salvation that God offers. Maybe it's because you've never asked Jesus into your heart. And maybe it's because when you did, it was more like, hey, Jesus, get on my train. Instead of saying, Jesus, I want to get on your train. And there's a big difference. And so God is just, it's an invitation. It's not a condemnation. It's an invitation. He's inviting you to say yes. That's all. And then I think there's other people in the room that you have experienced salvation, but somewhere along the way you lost the joy of his salvation. And it's become a job. It's become a chore. And this is really crazy because I've only watched 2 hockey matches, I think, in my entire life. But on the way to church this morning, I heard the Lord say to my heart that there's somebody here that you keep putting yourself in the penalty box. And God keeps trying to put you in the game, and you say, no, I need to be in the penalty box because I've messed up. I've messed up. And I can't play because I've messed up. And I believe the Lord is whispering to your heart right now, you don't belong in the penalty box. Jesus took care of the penalty of sin. If you've repented, get out of the penalty box. He's inviting you to participate with him in the billion soul harvest. You cannot keep putting yourself in the penalty box. He's inviting you to come out and play. Be on the ice. So I want to have ministry time today. We have plenty of time. I left plenty of time for it today, so you don't have to hurry. But I want to invite the ministry team to come forward. But here's what we're going to do a little differently this time. I want the ministry team to be on this side of the room. On my left, your right. Up here and along the side, however you can fit. And I want this side completely open. If Megan or Doug could go to the keys or something now, that would be great. I want this side to be open because I don't know about you, but there are times when I want to pray and kneel at the altar and spend some time with the Lord. And sometimes I want someone to partner with me. Like she was talking to me today. I keep putting myself in the penalty box, or I need to experience salvation. I asked Jesus to ride my train and now I want to ride his train, I want someone to partner with me. And there are times when I just want to come up and have some alone time with the Lord. So this side is for people who just are like, please don't touch me. Leave me alone. I want to be with the Lord. Okay. And that's okay. That's okay. So ministry team, come on up and stand up here if you could. You see, if repentance is a gift, we don't have to be embarrassed about it. Because every single person in the entire world who's ever lived have messed up at one time or another. If salvation is something we celebrate, we get to come and receive ministry and salvation. So if you felt your spirit today buzzing, if you felt your heart being pulled closer to God, I just want you to come up now. Be brave and just make the step forward to either have someone pray with you or pray on your own. You say, I want salvation, or I want the joy of his salvation returned to me. Or I keep trying to wear my own robe of righteousness and I'm tired. I want to put his robe of righteousness back on.
Salvation. Every other well does not satisfy. Space where you can come and have your way. I'm open. I'm open. My heart is an open space where you can come and have your way. I'm open.
Been wrestling in your inside of yourself with the question, did God really say this was wrong? Can I just tell you, if you're battling that, he probably did. But the question isn't that as much as it's, will you get on his train? Will you surrender your right to decide what's best for your life? Because if you will, you will find joy and salvation like you've never had before. This is a holy invitation to a new way of living. This is not condemnation. This is not judgment. It's a holy invitation to a new way of living. What I want you to expect. If you opened your heart at all, if you opened your space at all today, you got an update to your operating system. My phone updated last week, 2 weeks ago, and it drove me crazy because I didn't know how to do a lot of what I already knew how to do. But I'm getting used to it now and it's working better for me, right? So you got an update today. that may create some frustration in your life initially. Because you're like, wait, every time I used to do this, I was fine with it, and now I'm not so fine with it. It's not working for me so well. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. You're getting an update that's going to benefit you. It's going to bless your life. It's going to bless your ability to live to the earth instead of from the earth. Okay? Just keep saying yes. Keep aware of his presence all the time. No matter what you're facing, kids, when you go back to school, keep aware of his presence because he's there. God, I pray a blessing over every single person right now. I thank you for the joy of your salvation. Woo! I thank you for the joy of surrender. I thank you for the joy of repentance. I thank you for the joy of wearing your robe of righteousness, not our own. And I pray that you would enable us to function well with this update so that we can live to the earth instead of from the earth. I bless every person in this room at whatever portion they felt this message from you. I thank you for it and I bless them, Lord. I pray that you would help us to remember what needs to be remembered and forget what needs to be forgotten. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. I hope to see you tonight. If you need an extra ticket, I have two available as of now. Okay? Love you guys. Thanks, guys, up there. Appreciate it. Like that harmonica, too.